Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey everyone, this is BTN. Welcome to Inside the Episode. Today, David and I are going inside the episode titled A Lesson About Purpose from the movie Harriet. So let's go ahead and get started. So David, first of all, thanks for doing this. I think it was a good idea to talk about this film because it was getting a lot of people talking about it when it first came out, and now it's available for rental and people can go out and see it. They can buy it. In this particular episode, you shared your insights, but can you talk about more of when you sat down and watched the movie the first time, what that big takeaway was for you and the drive and the purpose that Harriet Tubman showed throughout her life?
Well, so I had heard about the movie. I didn't know the particulars of it, but I knew what the story was. So when I sat down to watch it, when I sit down to watch any movie, really, what I like to do is not hear too much about it before I sit down and watch it. I want to go on my own journey.
So you don't pay attention to what the critics are saying and all that bullshit, right?
Never.
Good for you.
Yeah,
good for
never.
You.
I want to go on my own journey and see what it leads me to. So right away, I was struck by the courage of the individuals to take the actions that they actually took to stand up to the master, the slave owner. And in one of the opening scenes, you see the reverends on the steps of the house, and they're having church for all the slaves. And when church is over, they ask permission if they could address the master, the slave owner, who's sitting with his family on this porch. And they go up there and they basically tell him that they hired a lawyer and that the contract that his father signed with Harriet's mother was basically not being followed. And when I saw that, I was thinking to myself, knowing the little bit that I do know about, you know, the history of slavery, that alone could have caused them great physical harm. Just by doing that, right? Just the gumption to go against them, and as you can see, he takes offense to it, you know, right away. So I thought to myself, you know, we're already coming from a place in the beginning of the movie where there's a determination and a reason building for her purpose to start to come out, you know, to see her sister's soul, to see the way that people are treated, you know, how they're whipped, like they're raped. You know, when she was younger, a white person threw a 2-pound weight and hit her in the head, cracked her skull open, and that's why she was having those seizures or whatever it is that they were throughout the movie. When you do the fact-checking, it talks a little bit more about that.
Yeah, those visions were actually something that she dealt with her whole life because of that blow to the head, yeah.
Yeah, so the thing that grabbed me was, it was like, okay, what's fascinating about this right from the start is her determination to go through with this, to get away, to get to freedom, no matter what the cost is. And that grabbed me in right away because I have this thing where I'm fascinated about people that discover their purpose, because when you discover your purpose and you know that you know, there's this connection that happens internally, and it's like there's nothing else that you're going to do except that thing. That thing is going to happen. And very often you see people, they're like, if I can't do it, I might as well die, because there's nothing else that you want to do more than that thing. And for her, that was to get free, to be free.
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite an amazing story. Just out of curiosity, did you learn much about this in school? Did they teach that?
A little bit. Yeah. Well, I did learn about it in school. I did not learn everything that the movie taught in school. To be honest with you, I don't remember how much of it. I knew the story. I knew who she was.
We know her name.
I know her name.
Yes, for sure.
I mean, I know what she did. I didn't know the particulars about what she did. So I honestly don't remember how deep our history books went back into it in school. That was a while back.
Sure.
But I do remember learning about it, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because they even talk about that. I was watching something either on YouTube or I was actually watching something on TV, and they were talking about the film, and they were talking about how Harriet Tubman is such a well-known name, but this story has never been told before this way. And it's quite factual. I mean, they took some liberties, obviously, but it is factual on many fronts. And when you go and do your own fact check, and there's even a well-heralded biography out there that I haven't read called The Road to Freedom, might be something worth a look.
Yep.
But what is interesting about it is that, you know, I didn't grow up here, which is essentially North Carolina, which is right on that dividing line of the North and the South, right? They had people on both camps during the Civil War fighting brothers versus brothers. But where I grew up out in the West, we knew about it, but it was never really, because we were so far removed from it, it really wasn't studied that much. But I did, as a teacher, do a lot during Black History Month, which is, we just came out of in February. And it was really interesting to see this side of it, because I really had no idea the, you know, you sit there and you say that, oh, she freed 70 slaves. You say to yourself, oh, you know, they just got on a bus and headed north, right? It's nowhere near as simple as that. And the fact that she kept going back, I mean, you talked in the episode about where people stop. Like, she very easily could have lived her life in freedom for the rest of her days and never given it a second thought. Yep. And here she was, I'm going back, which scared the hell out of every single person that she was talking to.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, the other thing that you mentioned was about how the story was never told. I think it's number one, a tragedy, but it's also fascinating that this hasn't been a movie. You know, like, nobody's actually told this story. And I've heard, I'm not going to get into really too much why, because that's my own area of non-education. But some of the stories that I've heard about it are pretty appalling in my mind. Anyway, I think it's unfortunate that it's taken this long to tell that story. And you hear that, like, whenever they come out with a story, whenever Hollywood comes out with a movie that is centered around African Americans and great things that they've done and how they've participated in history, it's taken a very, very long time for us to get there. And it's I think number one, that I'm glad we're getting there. I'll say that. I'm glad we're getting there. But I also think that it's a real tragedy that human evolution and consciousness is taking this long to break through racism. It's something that, when I think about it, when I really get in and think about it, and don't come from some ideological perspective of the way that it should be and look at it the way that it is, which is what many people have been asking us to do for a long time, right? Like, here's the way that it is. Here's how we're living. Here's how we're suffering. Here's the things that are being done to us. When we actually look at these things, I remember watching Oprah in an interview, and I don't remember what the interview was around. I would have looked it up if I'd known we were going down this road. But they were asking her about racism, and they said what do we need to do to get rid of racism? And the conversation came down to that there are generations, primarily the generation before you and I, and a good part of our generation just need to die. Meaning, and what she meant by that was, you're never going to change their mind. Like, this is the way they think about people of color, about people of different races, about people of different sexes, and they're not going to change their mind. So it dies out a little bit with each generation. And, you know, part of the responsibility that I think we have is to not let it continue to spread to another generation. But it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, when I sit and think about it, it angers me, but I also come from the place of like, what is it still in our world that causes us to hate our brother, to judge our brother based on their skin or their sexual orientation or their class? Like what is, because I know it's fear. I know that it's fear and that it's ignorance, but it's like, what are the stories? Why do people hold on to these stories so much? And I have a lot of knowledge on why they do, but it's still one of those things where you think to yourself, when are they going to let go of it? Like, you get to a place, I think, where you see the beauty in the journey, because there is a beauty in the journey. There's a beauty in the journey of every living thing, how it evolves, how it survives, how it thrives, how it moves to the next evolution of itself. I believe there's a greater purpose that's actually taking place. But the part that I still find very disturbing is when people have got their heels dug into that these people are no good, or those people are no good, or this sex is no, like when they get that deep into the hate, you know, it's kind of like we need to find a better answer than the one that we're currently looking at.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know of all the episodes that we've done and all the inside the episodes that we've done, I am treading very carefully in this one, and I'm being very aware because I don't want to come across as being insensitive. We want to be respectful, yeah. And I don't want to say anything because I don't know what it is like to be a person of color growing up in a world, and I never will. But at the same time, I can show empathy and respect towards those, you know, those situations and understand that we do need to change, and we have turned a corner. I mean, this film in itself is very powerful on a variety of fronts, not because it's a story that's finally being told the way it's being told, that is a celebration of this wonderful Black woman who freed so many people and led all these great expeditions to get people out, but it was also directed by three women, which I think shows you this film would not have been made probably 5 years ago. Well, it wasn't made 5 years ago. Right. It wasn't made 10 years ago. It wasn't even made a year ago.
Right. So but the idea to do it was there.
So it was really cool. I actually watched the featurette afterwards, and I saw these three powerful women and talking about, and you know, a few of them were Black, one of them was white, and they came together and told the story. And it was really cool to see because we are growing as a community, growing as a world, growing as a nation, and we're able to tell these types of stories, but we will never fully eliminate the racist sort of feelings until those people completely die off. I grew up in a small town in Montana that we had in a community of maybe 9,000 people. There was maybe one or two families of any color that were in that community.
Right.
But yet and I don't know how this happened, but
yeah, like you grew up in like the whitest part of the world.
Yes, totally. I mean, it was Wonder Bread out there.
Yeah.
It was. And what's interesting is my first experience being around, you know, other, you know, like nationalities or other cultural differences was at college first and foremost. And then when I moved to California, when I graduated from college, and I've always had sort of like an empathy towards people who are growing up in a place where they're maybe the minority, but they're still doing amazing things. And for me, it was really, because I grew up, I mean, some of my family would say racist words and all these other sorts of things. And I don't say those words because A, they're disrespectful and have no place. And B, I don't want to bring myself down to that level. But that was sort of how I grew up.
And you don't believe it.
I don't believe it. And sometimes I don't think they believe it either, but it was just a way to get a rise out of people. And maybe they did it out of anger, but whatever it was, it's just really interesting to see how far we have come, yet how far we still have to go.
I think you said something very important. I think that there's a lot of people that don't believe it, but they say it because the people that they believe that they need to be in touch with, their group, think they believe it. So it's like, I can't believe different than everybody else in my family or believes, because I'll be ostracized from that family. So I'm going to use these words to be part of that family, that group, or that race, or that community, whatever it is. I don't believe that, because I've seen it. I witnessed that in my own childhood. People that did not believe it and used racist language because everybody else was using racist language. And it was, what was interesting was that I remember kids using it before we knew any better, right? And then there was when you started to know better and you saw who would drop it and who would not drop it and the reasons why they would drop it and actually coming out and saying, no, this is wrong. I'm not going to say this, but maybe their parents were still doing it and really combating like that making a stand for their own belief system. But I totally agree. I think there's a ton of people that they're raised that way. They're raised around that language. They're raised around those beliefs and the behavior. They don't necessarily believe it, but they say it anyway because everybody else is doing it. And then it becomes, people are so afraid to take a stand for their own belief because the people that they love or that's in their family or that protect them in some way or whatever, they don't want to be that far different from them, and they don't want to be ostracized. And that is, I think that's sick, to be honest with you.
Well, it's the true definition of you being, held prisoner to that, because you're not free if you're not.
You're not.
Yeah.
And you're totally not free.
Yeah. And that's one of the things you mentioned, and I'll get to later on, about we either live free or we die. And I think it's a powerful message from this film. You did share a story about how Harriet carried a gun, both for protection from the slave owners who she was trying to run from, but also from the people she was helping.
Yes.
And I did go in and read a little bit about that and about how she was willing to actually harm the people she was helping if they decided to turn around, because the
underground, was going to shoot them.
Yeah, the Underground Railroad was an extremely secretive operation, and it needed to work flawlessly. And if a person decided, no, this isn't for me, I'm leaving, well, that wasn't going to work. You're either going to live free or you're going to die right here.
And there was a lot of whites that were involved in the Underground Railroad, right? So it had to remain secret in order to move those people from the deep south up to the north, and all the way up to St. Catharines in Canada, to be able to do it. They could not risk somebody going back and saying, here's what's going on, here's where it is, this house or this farm owner has a tunnel underneath their house and they're hiding people there. They couldn't risk it.
Yeah, what was really cool is when I was still in the classroom, I was teaching fifth graders at the time, and I had coordinated a field trip to a small former hotel called the Milton House in Milton, Wisconsin, that was an actual stop on the Underground Railroad. So we got to go in and sort of put your hands along the walls. You got to go underneath the floorboards where the fleeing slaves would stay as they're making their way up north. And you could feel, I just remember sitting there, and there was like this welling up in my eyes about all the, and it was tears of joy in a way, because these people were that much closer to freedom and being able to be free. It seems crazy that our society at one point in time had that. But now, after hundreds of years of being removed from that, it still leaves an indelible impression. And I'll never forget the feeling I had the first time I walked in that place, realizing that this really happened.
Yeah.
And it was just an amazing place.
I saw a number of houses like that when I lived in Maryland. And a lot of people forget that Maryland was the South, it's south of the Mason-Dixon line. It was that's where she was breaking free from.
Right.
Was Maryland. And a lot of people just don't think of Maryland as being the South today. But when I first moved there and I was looking at houses, there was a real estate agent that was taking us around and showing us. And we went into a couple of houses that were part of the Underground Railroad. And some of them were, we actually looked at this one place. We didn't find out till we actually got there that it was an actual slave plantation. And it was a little eerie. The energy there was a little, you could, it was palpable.
Yeah.
You could feel it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I just wanted to share that because it was really a powerful experience. If you get an opportunity to go through something like that, it really does give you a sense of just how far we have come. And yet we still have some ways to go. Let's talk a little bit about fear here quickly. So fear is your enemy. That was one of the things that you talked about in the episode. And you said the universe doesn't speak through fear. Lies speak through fear. It's not the truth. You know, Harriet was being led to, you know, she was being led by God, source, spirit, whatever you want to call it, to break through that. And she accomplished amazing feats.
Right.
So it kind of puts into perspective the things that maybe we fear in our lives. So I guess the question I have, and this is just a broad statement, not an easy one, but I'll ask it anyways. How can we hold up the light of truth to keep our own fears and insecurities from coming to the surface? Because fear is a big deal for a lot of people, whether it's fear about your life, fear about paying your bills, fear about your kids are messed up because of what you taught them. Like, what can we do to hold the light of truth up right now to keep that under wraps?
So number one, in order to do it, you have to know what the truth is. And as long as a person wants to believe in ignorance, they want to believe in the lie that they're told, you can't hold the truth up to it. Here's part of the problem. The truth for most people is an experience that they have not had. So we're raised with all these different lies. We're raised that we have to have an education, and we're raised that we have to have a job, and we're raised that we have to do all these things in order to survive in the world. And we could go, like, all of our podcasts talk about these right. things, so we don't need to go over them again. But we're raised with all these ideas. And the underlying lie that keeps those ideas alive is that it's safety, right? The other one is abandonment. So people have a huge fear of abandonment. We just got done talking about that. Like, people will repeat racial stuff so that they're not abandoned by people that they love, even though they don't believe it themselves, even though they know that there's no truth to it whatsoever. They'll repeat that kind of crap just because they don't want to be abandoned by the people that they love. So you have safety and you have abandonment. The truth, here's the truth, and this truth scares the hell out of people. There is no safety. That's the problem. There is no safety. But we create this lie that if you buy this insurance, if you join this group, if you get this education, if you work for this company, if you're loyal to this, that you'll be safe. And marketers and all kinds of corporations have built their companies for generations on the idea of helping people stay safe from cradle to grave. What keeps a person safe is, number one, knowledge and the ability to choose in a moment what is best for them and how to respond to certain situations. So you've got your results, you've got circumstances, you've got things that are happening in your environment. We all pretend that we're going through life and everything's gonna be safe. Recently, we just lost Kobe Bryant. We did a show on that, and we were talking about how the people were shocked and how could this possibly be, and not coming from the aspect of, number one, he's a human being, okay. Doesn't matter if he was successful, doesn't matter if he was poor, he's a human being, and there was an error. And the error was serious enough error to cost him his life and everybody else that was with him. It'll be interesting to see what all comes out of that, but like anything else, one of the things that we do is we look to blame. And the reason that we look to blame is because if we can't give that tragedy meaning, then we don't feel safe. So in order for everybody in the community being the world, to feel safe, if we can blame it on something, if we could say it's this person's fault or this thing's fault, and we can misdirect all that energy toward that thing, it gives us the illusion that we're safe, right?
Right.
So if you go to this movie, like, well, how did this apply to this movie? These people were willing to give up their freedom in order to be safe, not being free. But they really weren't safe, because if they screwed up, they were beaten, they were whipped, they were raped, their children were taken away from them, they were sold. All kinds of horrors happened. They weren't safe, but they were under the illusion that they were safe. And they told themselves that illusion that they were safe. And many people stayed and died in those situations because that was more important. Like you see in the movie, there's a clip where her sister, like she's trying to get her sister to leave, okay? And the sister doesn't want to leave. The sister doesn't want her baby sold, right? And she said something to the effect to Harriet, like, not everybody can just leave. And that's the lie right there. Not everybody can just, that's not true. That's absolutely not true. But for whatever reason, she didn't believe that. They didn't go any deeper into it than that. But the statement really said enough in the idea that some people were just too afraid to be able to go to break away from that situation. So the idea is that the lie itself has a tremendous amount of power if we actually believe in what the lie is telling us. But it's a lie. None of it is actually true. So it becomes very difficult for us to become free if we don't understand what the truth is. That's why education is so important. Like, why do you think like the Nazis burned the books, right? First they burned the books, then they burned the people. Why did they burn the books? Because they didn't want people to know. They didn't want people to have an education, right? I was reading another book. Oh, the name of it, I'll look it up here. As I'm actually talking, this book that I just got done reading, here it is. It is called "The Stranger in the Woods: An Extraordinary Story of the Last True Hermit" by Michael Finkel. Okay, it's about a guy who basically, at 20 years old, decided that he was going to go off in the woods in the middle of Maine, and he lived there for 27 years before they found him. And he had been, like, to live, he was, like, stealing from cabins and stuff, food and stuff and everything. But he basically lived in the woods for 27 years, didn't live in a cabin, never started a fire, right? Like, he figured out how to live through all the winters and everything. And in the book, the author did a bunch of research on people who were hermits throughout history. And for a long time, people were scared to death. Like the church was scared to death of hermits. Why? Because they were off on their own, free thinking, not under the control of the church, not under control of the king, not under control of a dictator. They were free thinking on their own, and they viewed that as being very dangerous. Why do you think that they wouldn't let slaves learn how to read? Education's a dangerous thing. If we can keep people ignorant, we can keep them believing in the superstitions of the lies that we tell them. So we have to know the truth for it to be something powerful for us to be able to step in. And even knowing it, there's a battle that takes place internally in the person, because you can tell me something that's true, and I can intellectually know that it's true, but I still haven't experienced it yet, and I'm afraid of what happens during the experience. So the unknown, the mind goes through this fantasy or imagination of the monster in the unknown. It's the little child who's afraid of the monster under the bed or the twig rattling against the window in the middle of the night. It creates this unknown, this fear of the unknown, basically.
And so, then your imagination takes over and the story goes off in a it is just a twig scratching.
And it goes off in a crazy place, and then we can become paralyzed.
Isn't it interesting that that's more often than not our default, though? Like, worst case scenario is a default, and I'm dealing with this a lot. Like, I always go to worst case scenario, and it's not a good place to live. It's not living free, I can tell you that much. Right. So I think that's what's important about that. And I love that. I got to read that book. It sounds so interesting.
It's a very interesting book.
Yeah.
It's not scary or anything.
No.
It says The Stranger in the Woods. It's not a scary book. It's a fascinating read, and it's an easy read. It's a pretty quick, easy read. I've read it a couple of times, but it's fascinating what this guy chose to do for himself and how he educated himself out in the woods by stealing other people's right. books. Like, he's a very well-read man.
I'm going to have to read that. We'll have to do a show on that one. Yeah. That sounds really cool. Okay, so let's walk out with this one. You know, one of the big themes in the movie Harriet, and something that she says more than once in it, is, you know, we either live free or we die.
Correct.
Like that was the motto. And it's a powerful message, of course, that we're sharing with our listeners and that you shared on the episode itself. You know, there's so many things that keep us from living our true purpose. So if you could just offer any advice or insight to the person out there listening to this who, you know, maybe they're struggling with what their purpose is or what they're supposed to be here to do, what would you say to that person in order to get them on the path to freedom themselves?
To really sit down and think to yourself, what is really the worst that could happen? Like, what is the worst that could happen? We're already going to die.
It's a guarantee.
That's the end game for all of us.
Right.
We're going to die. So it's about, what do we do when we're here? What's the worst? What is the absolute worst that could happen? And what is the best that could happen? If you actually say, okay, here's the worst, right? And if I don't do anything, chances are the worst is going to happen in one way or another. I mean, nothing ever stays the same, but that's another lie and illusion that we live under, that it's going to actually stay the same. But when I'm working with people, I say, look, because they get afraid of all kinds of things, money, running out of money, not making sales, their business not growing. I'm like, what's the worst that could happen? You could lose everything, and then what? You start over. That's it. You start over, right? So when you think about that intellectually, you start to think, yeah, even though I wouldn't necessarily want to experience that, that's really not that bad in the grand context of the worst things that happen, you know, in the world or that have happened in the world. What the hell am I so afraid of? And you know what it really comes down to? What other people think.
100%.
What other people think. Losing family, losing friends, having people make fun of us, appearing stupid or ignorant in front of another individual. It's not so much that we're afraid to lose, it's we're afraid to be seen as a loser. That's more painful than the actual loss, because we make mistakes all of our life. The idea is that we correct them and we move forward. That's growth. That's what it is.
Yeah. The interesting thing about that is you're living your life, but it's really not your life, because you're judging your life based on what everybody else thinks.
Right.
And it's just a mask that you wear. And the sooner you drop that mask and start living your life with no regrets, the more you're going to be able to live a life of
exactly.
freedom. That's powerful. Well, I would encourage everybody to go out and definitely watch this film, Harriet. It was very well done. The direction, the actors, the sets, the extras, it really is a powerful tale. And I'm glad we were able to go inside. Thanks, David.
Yep. Great show.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.